Amen. God bless you.
Well, I ask you to open your Bible with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. We were reading there today and having our devotions this morning, and I felt like that'd be a great place for us to try to make an attempt to preach, and hope we'll be guilty tonight. Amen? And I trust that you've come asking the Lord to speak to your heart and praying for the preacher and praying for the sweet Holy Spirit of God to have His way in this service tonight. I know you've probably already found your spot there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But let me encourage you to pick up one of these. It won't cost you a penny tonight. These just came today. I think we actually got them yesterday and putting them out today. And this is the newsletter from the Boys Ranch as well as from the Girls Haven called The Shield of Faith. I'd love for you to have one of these tonight and take it home and pray about some specific prayer projects we're asking you to pray. I believe in praying specifically, don't you? I believe God sort of gets weary of our generalities and would have us to just pray as we would talk to our earthly father or mother if they're still living. I believe God wants us to come to Him the same way, Brother Melvin, with the earnestness that we believe that what we ask we can receive. Amen? We have not, the Bible says. Why? Because we ask not. And many times we ask that we might consume it upon our own lust, but I think you'll find that the things in this newsletter we're praying for are not great big things, but they're things that we need. I was looking there, well, they need a vacuum cleaner. Doesn't say they need a $300 or $400 vacuum cleaner. They need a Bissell vacuum cleaner, one of them, price $65. Now, you reckon God's broke? I believe God could meet that need, don't you? Laundry hampers. Need five of them at $15 a piece. See, you don't know those kind of things unless you see them. And you won't see them unless you pick up one of these. And it gives you something to pray for. God may speak to your heart. You may speak to someone else's heart. It's amazing over these 35 years to see God have His way in meeting the needs of the ranch and the haven. And does it just the opposite way that you think He's going to do it? He'll do it that way every time. We just think we've got God figured out, and He reminds us that His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? And then if you would consider this for a gift to the ministry, this is the Haven CD. I noticed Brother Matt and the ladies sang two songs off this CD tonight. This is a ranch CD here, and both the girls and the young men singing, the young ladies and the young men, I should say. And I think you'd enjoy those. They're 12 apiece or 2 for 20. Got a blue light special right there. Okay, 12 apiece or 2 for 20. And if you don't have the money, Brother Connor McGinnis would be glad to loan you some tonight. And he's loaded. That's what I've heard. I'm just kidding about that. But then the prayer card's already been mentioned. Won't cost you a dime to pray for us. Take this. Shows the ranch and the Haven Academy. And we just pray that God would meet the needs of the ministry there. There are many needs. I just have seen the Lord send us a new director to the Boys Ranch. Been praying about that specifically for 2 years. Brother James Scott, our ranch director, been with us 8.5 years. Going on the road, he and his wife full-time, traveling. Like another old couple I know, Brother and Sister Grubbs, they've been at it about 3 years, back on the road again, and trying to raise support. We try to get this ministry in front of as many fundamental churches as we can across America, and have been averaging between 40 and 50 meetings a year, Brother Brandon, and like it, enjoy it, miss home a lot, miss seeing what God's doing at the church a lot, but it's good to hear the good news from home. And if you know of a young person who needs this ministry, be a young man or a young lady, I'd like for you to see me specifically. And we'll talk about that tonight, pray with you about that tonight, give you one of these. And these are just for folks that have a young person they're burdened for, like your pastor was talking about a while ago. He gives testimonies of some of our young people. I was thanking God for the fruit that remains tonight, fruit that remains. It's a blessing to see families here that we went to church with years ago, and you're still faithfully serving the Lord. And I praise the Lord for fruit that remains. I look and see these girls singing, these young ladies singing, and I see some that have graduated and some that are in Bible college and waiting to graduate. That's good to see fruit that remains. I was looking here at the picture on the back of the CD, young lady on the mission field right now in Kyrgyzstan. It came through our home. You know, we have some pastors, Brother Larry said, well, if you're not a local, it's not about planting a local church. Two on the mission field. Not about planting a local church, we're not interested. Well, you know, I understand that everything comes out of a local church, and these are ministers of a local church and supported by many local churches. But some of these young ladies are now working and married to preacher boys that are starting churches, and I think that counts in God's sight, don't you? Amen. And we're praising the Lord for some fruit that remains, is what I'm trying to say. And you've had a part in that for many, many years as a local church. And I appreciate the way God has used this faithful pastor and his people. I don't say this tonight because we have our handout, and I remember specifically a few years ago when the ranch had an annual land payment that was coming due. The Girls Haven had an annual land payment that was coming due. Those two land payments combined together ran over $50,000. And every rolled around every January the 2nd. And we were not able to put that in our budget. If you could see our budget, you'd see this ministry is all about faith. Brother Roloff used to say, if you could put it out and figure it on paper, it's nothing about faith. And I say, amen. I think everything needs to be organized and in order and do the very best we can. But I think if we figure out faith, in other words, if we leave faith out, the Bible says we do not please God. So we never could put that budget of the annual payment in our monthly budget. It just wouldn't fit. How many of you got more month usually left at the end of the month than you have paycheck? Yeah, I see a few people that are honest. The rest of you are either lying or you've got a bad case of arthritis and it's cold weather out and it's damp. And you can't. But you've been there. You've seen God come through. And God used this church in a real definite way several years ago. We had a pressing financial need. And I never will forget it. And Ruth and I had taken some time just to get away and pray and ask God to do His unusual, supplying the need. And God called through your pastor. I'd missed him on a call, and he returned the call. Let me say that puts you high on the list in my mind. And so many missionaries call pastors, and they never hear back from them. I've been on both sides of the desk. I've been a missionary and a pastor and worked in a local church all my life, just about. And I want to always be kind to missionaries. I learned that many, many years ago. And your pastor returned a phone call when we were praying, and we went out in a solitary place to pray. And your pastor returned a phone call to me and said, what are you needing, Brother Steve? And I shared with him a burden in my heart. He said, put us down for X amount of dollars. God knows about that amount. And that's really all that matters anyway, isn't it? Amen. He's a great bookkeeper. Oh, he's the best. Amen. Well, I'm glad to be at a friendly church and shaking hands and just having a big time in the Lord tonight. Oh, that was good. I've enjoyed it already. I could go home right now. Some of you say, I'd like to. It's been long enough right now. I could go home right now and say it was worth driving from Benton, Tennessee. And how many of you know where the thriving metropolis of downtown Benton, Tennessee is, all right? Your pastor knows because he's been down Highway 411 going to Dalton, Georgia many times, no doubt. And those younger days he and I were talking about tonight, picking up carpet and bringing it back to Knoxville and Halls. And thank God for a working preacher. Amen. A lot of people think preachers don't do anything but just lay around, get up on Sunday morning and Sunday night, trot out there and preach for about 30 or 45 minutes. I wished I could do more preaching in 30 minutes, Brother Conda. I can't hardly get through my introduction in 30 minutes. They think they just trot out there and preach. But I thank God for men of God who are working, men of God in the prayer closet, in the study, and also many of them working bivocational jobs, working and pastoring at the same time. You pray for Bradley County. We were hit hard with a tornado. I know you've heard about it. Over 280 homes completely destroyed. I don't mean damaged. I mean they're not there anymore. 280 houses, I should say. Can't destroy a home with anything. This is yes. Come on, man. But you can destroy wood, hay, and stubble pretty easily. And we saw it done this past week, a week ago tomorrow, in fact, Wednesday night. We went to church right between tornadoes. We had three out. And he said, y'all had church between tornadoes? We sure did. I don't know anywhere I'd rather be than in the house of God. With God doing all the work above us, we'd beat a path right down to the house of God, right between tornadoes. We were under the house, riding one tornado out, and got there about 5 minutes after seven, and we had about 130 people gathered there on their knees to pray. And we got back home about 9 o'clock. I looked at Ruth. Ruth looked back at me. She said, what do we do in the dark? We lost our power. And wasn't nothing to do but just sit around and look at each other. I said, why don't we just pray and go to bed? She said, I like the sound of that. We did that, and a big tornado come through, 190-mile-an-hour winds, and destroyed several houses and nine lives. But you know, they're in Bradley County, but you know, God is the author of all of that. He's not the author of confusion, but he's the author of all that. He has the power to tear down and build up, has the power to take life and give life. God's in charge of all that. You try to figure God's ways out, and you'll be looking in the rearview mirror the rest of your life and wasting a lot of time. You're not going to figure out some things, and some questions are not going to be answered this side of eternity. So you might as well just accept that God knows what he's doing, and just stay on carrying the mail. Amen? Carrying the mail. I believe this is God's love letter to us. Carry the mail. Don't doubt in the dark what you've believed in the light. Let the dogs bark, and you just keep carrying the mail and know that Jesus is right and just in all his doings. I'm not going to take the time tonight to read this entire chapter. I'm going to lift one verse. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll go immediately to verse 24. I wish I could preach from the 4th chapter and the 5th chapter. Talk about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. I'd love to preach about the second coming. I need to read all the 4th chapter to do it, most of the 5th chapter. And how many of you are ready for that second coming of Christ? You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Come on, keep your hands up good and high. And you know if you were to come, he were to come tonight, you're ready to meet him. Good. And not ashamed of it. Amen. And those that could not raise their hand or decided they would not or maybe didn't know for sure that they were saved, might be a wonderful night to get all that settled. And at the foot of the cross, get it nailed down, and just say, Lord, I need you as my Savior. And God has the attention of a lot of people right now in Bradley County, and Polk County, and Hamilton County, and Ringo, Georgia, and all through there, and Alabama. And I think about what he's done just in recent days. So you blame God for that? I know God could have stopped it, don't you? He allowed it. I don't know exactly why. I don't know why God takes the life of a child 3 months old. One of our neighbors right across the road from him little baby was staying there with their grandmother, and the grandmother said to the neighbors, I'm not going to leave the house. We've just been in the house 3 months, hadn't made but 2 house payments. I'm not about to leave this house. Oh, come on, get out of the house, come down here to the neighbor's basement. She said, no, I'll stay here with my grandbaby. And I don't understand why the Lord took that lady, that grandmother, and a 3-month-old baby. And they traveled about 1/8 of a mile as the wind hit that house and blew it apart. And they found both of them, her clutching the baby in her arms. I don't understand that, but God has a reason. How many of you believe God has a reason? Amen. This time last year, when Brother Matt and him were singing that song, God Gives Grace in the Midst of Every Storm, I was in a storm much worse than the storm I'm talking about this time last year. But God gives grace, and I'm so thankful. The Lord taught us some things through the storm, through the valley, that he could never teach us anywhere else. I'm glad I'm able to look our young ladies in the eye and say God's grace is sufficient for every need that he allows. Many of these young ladies saw me at the lowest point I've been in my life this time last year, I'll be honest. But God gave special grace. I thank the Lord he's able to do that. Amen. Oh, boy, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Would you read that with me? The 24th verse. Ready? Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. I believe God is faithful in all his ways, just in all his ways. Miss Cindy was playing the song from the 89th Psalm a while ago when we were shaking hands. From Psalm 89:1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Amen. thy faithfulness to all generations. You know, I believe when we sing Scripture back to the Lord, Brother Brent, Miss Cindy, when we sing Scripture back to the Lord, He doesn't measure the quality of our voice. He doesn't care whether we can sing harmony or have a strong alto or a strong soprano or a strong bass or a strong lead voice. When we sing Scripture back to the Lord, it just excites the Lord because He's given us the Word. And if He sees, Brother Robert, that we spend enough time in the Word of God to claim it and even sing it back unto Him, I believe it pleases the Lord. And I thank the Lord for the Psalms. Whether you realize it or not, many of these Psalms were actually songs that God gave to David and others. And he sang them. David was a great singer and a great leader. And he sang, and a great shepherd and statesman and all those things, and soldier. But he was also a great singer. And he'd sing those Psalms back to the Lord. I'd like to slip up beside him sometime. But you know, you can do the same thing tonight. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. You say, where in the world did that come from? This old book. This old black book. You may be another color on your cover. I'm talking about this old King James Bible. Amen? Oh, I thought I'd hit a right note there. This old book, blessed book. Thank God for the Word of God, inspired, inerrant, and infallible. I don't think it needs to be rewritten. I agree with Brother Roloff, said it needs to be reread. Amen. Don't fix it if it's not broke. He used to have a sermon entitled, Don't Mess With My Mama. How many of you have ever heard Brother Roloff preach that? Don't mess with my mama. Yeah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Don't mess with my mama. I can hear him right now. And the mule walked on. I like that one too, don't you? Somebody said, Brother Roloff couldn't sing. Well, I think it pleased the Lord what he sung back to him. You say, well, he wasn't much of a singer. I beg to differ with you, and I think the Lord would too. It's about what comes out of the heart. Not what comes out of the lung or out of the mouth, but what comes out of the heart. And I was reading in the third chapter of Proverbs. I'm having a hard time getting off the runway tonight. I was reading that in Proverbs chapter 3. Today's the third day of the month. And I was, Ruth and I do that every morning. We read that along with other passages in our devotions. And I was reading how the Lord, three times in the first five verses there, talks about thine heart, thine heart, thine heart. You know, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. On the heart. You may dress up pretty good, clean up pretty good, put on a nice dress. If you're a lady, put on a nice suit of clothes or a nice pair of blue jeans and a nice clean shirt and iron it up. You say, you believe that's okay? I believe if it's clean and that's the best you've got, that's what you ought to wear to church. Be it blue jeans, amen, I'm talking about men now. Have to be specific, okay? I'm talking about blue jeans on men. If they have to have them, that's all they got. That's all right. Clean them up, iron them. Iron your shirt. Do the best you can. Bib overalls will work just fine, won't they, huh? Yeah, amen. And then a nice dress if you're a lady. Wash it, iron it, do whatever you got to get. Take you a good shower. We hadn't had any power this week, so it's come back on, and the girls have been able to take up a shower. We had no power, but they got showers. Amen. And they want this kind of showers either. But they are all cleaned up, and they're ready to worship the Lord tonight. By the way, some people just come to the house of God just to eye the clothes. Others come to close their eyes. We ought to come tonight to worship the Lord. Forget about eyeing the clothes and seeing what somebody's got on. And forget about closing the eyes. Everybody said amen right there. You can do that all night. You spend a third of your life asleep. What about that? Somebody said, boy, I'd like to go to bed, go to sleep right now. Wake up! Thank you, Brother Robert. I didn't try to wake her up. She was on point. She was on point. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. And then I thought about 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in the Lord that a man be found. Isn't it just like the Lord to put it within the reach of every man or woman, boy and girl, the most important thing that you or I can do, young or old, rich or poor, pretty or ugly, good looking or ugly as a mud rail fence, hey, to be faithful. Everybody can be faithful. Some choose not to be. But moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. I think, stop and think about all the attributes of God, Brother Brent, and I think about this. You or I, none of us, could even begin to comprehend any of His great attributes, God's great attributes. They're way beyond our ability to even comprehend. His ways and thoughts are much higher than ours. We can't even touch the very tip of the garment of His attribute of omniscience. And omniscience has to do with His all-knowing, omnipotence, His power. Man, we saw a little display of it last week. But I think it was something much more powerful than that, is His power to save a lost sinner. Amen. Power to save a lost sinner. All of us who are deserving of hell. Every one of us. But by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's greater power than you and I could ever visualize. You and I could ever think about. The grace of God. We could just think all night. Begin to exalt His omnipotent power. Excuse me. We might have a little technical problem here. Can you turn me off till I get it fixed? It's aggravating. Back in the right spot, hopefully. Just want to slide out again. I believe the devil's trying to interfere right in the middle.
Here you go, Brother Lee. What we got? Missed that too?
Okay. That'll keep it from sliding out. Turn it off again. We start bragging on Jesus, does he? He'll do something to get your attention like that. But I'm glad that God can put you right back on point again, right? None of us even begin to comprehend the attributes of God. And I just want to try to ask you to do something with me for a little while tonight. You won't be able to comprehend the attribute of God's power, but I want to talk to you a little bit about the power of God tonight. The power of God. And then faithfulness sums up His power, if I can put it that way. Faithful is He that calleth you. Do you see that verse? How many of you remember the call of salvation? Come on, do you? If you didn't get called, I'm going to tell you. I'm not talking about, chill bumps up and down your spine. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God convicting us and telling us that we need to get saved. Brother Melvin, I still believe in Holy Spirit conviction. I think one of the problems today, we got a lot of people signing up and jining and going through the baptistry and do not have the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm not talking about works now, Brother Larry. I'm talking about convicted and convinced that they're a sinner and need the Savior, need the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. That's what I'm talking about. That's what they say it down in Georgia. That's what I'm talking about right there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You remember the call of salvation? The Bible talks about it very plainly throughout the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 6. Will you quickly? We'll try to, if you'll turn there quickly, we won't waste any time. We're really just investing time, by the way. All of us are tonight. And investing in a good way. But look at John chapter 6. And if you would, notice in these verses. I'm talking about God being faithful in this matter of salvation. John chapter 6, verse 37 through 39. Look what it says here. John chapter 6, verse 37. Are you ready? Everybody there? All right, you follow along quietly as I read aloud. Verse 37. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What about that? Brother Clayton would say, did you hear that? Read it again, because I don't think some of you did. All that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Did you know that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners? That's the reason he came. He came to die for sinners. And Jesus Christ himself, don't ask me to explain this, I just know that the Bible's right. Jesus Christ himself, Brother Chip, had to submit to the will of God the Father. When he said on the cross, or before the cross, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Say, preacher, try to explain that. I can't explain it, but I can believe it. He had to submit to the will of God the Father. God the Son, God in the flesh, had to submit to the will of God the Father. The omnipotent one. The faithful one. Who would have all men to be saved. The just one to die for the unjust. 1 Peter 1:18. I remember when you shared that with me, Brother Chip. We had a good time that night. You remember that verse? I remember it, man. You said, Brother Steve, you ever seen this verse? The just for the unjust. I said, man, I know I've read it. Chip, I know I've read the Bible through. I know I've read it. But isn't it good that you can't learn it up? The more you pick it, the whiter it gets. And the older we get, Miss Eula, the better it gets because we forget it and we learn it all over again. Amen. She and I are talking a little bit about that tonight. My daddy used to encourage me every Sunday. He'd say, that's the best sermon you have ever preached. I said, Daddy, you told me that last week. He said, that was better. See, it wasn't any better. He just couldn't remember what I'd preached the week before. Brother Larry, you watch it when they start telling you that. It ain't that you're doing any better. Their memory's getting shorter. All right. Hey, Jesus is faithful. God the Father is faithful in this matter of salvation. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast him out. You say, I'm too bad of a sinner. No, there's never been anybody too bad that Jesus couldn't by his grace save. He's faithful in this matter of salvation. Amen. John 10. Just turn it over to John 10 and let's look at John 10, 7 through 11. Some of you may need to brush up on this. You've read it before, but maybe like me and Miss Eula, you've forgotten it. John chapter 10. Look, if you would, at verses 7 through 11, then 27 through 9 in John, through 29 in John chapter 10. I'm in John chapter 10 and we're reading together now, verses 7 through 11. Are you there? Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Say this with me. I am come that they might have life. Come on, let's do it. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Aren't you glad that the saved life, the Christian life, is the greatest life of all? All of this, Brother Larry, in heaven too. All of heaven a lost person will ever know, he experiences right here on this earth. I'm going to repeat that. All of heaven a lost person will ever know, he experiences right here on this earth. And I don't mean this ugly, but all of hell that a Christian will ever know, he experiences while he or she experiences while they're here on this earth. When they die, life just, excuse me, when they quit breathing here on earth, they begin breathing in heaven. Amen. It's not about dying for a Christian. It's about living. That's why every funeral service is a graduation service. That's right. We're fixing to have graduation in a few days. You know, there are people graduating into heaven as I'm preaching right now. I saw my mama graduate into heaven. I saw her see things I couldn't see. You say, preacher, now you're getting out there a little. I don't know what I'm talking about unless you've been there. When a saint of God gets ready to cross over. Whoo-wee. Hey, I don't care if you don't believe it. And I know everybody don't experience the same thing. But Brother Conda, I'll never forget, in the Bradley County Hospital, when Graham got ready to cross over. And that means more to me than does anybody here, because most of you don't know my mama like I knew my mama. She hadn't spoken to anybody in several weeks in a coma. Doctor said, now don't say anything about her that you don't want her to hear, because you never know what they hear and what they don't. So we gathered all the grandchildren together. She had taught them all how to sing on the piano. And we thought that'll rally her. Boy, she'll snap out of it. Nope. I was in there one Tuesday morning really early, about 6 o'clock. The sun was trying to come up. And all of a sudden, she spoke the first word she'd spoken in several weeks. She said, Kurt. She knew I was in there. I didn't know she knew. I remember what the doctor said. Don't say anything you don't want your mama to know. Kurt, do you see that light? I said, yes, ma'am, it's a street light. She said, oh, no, I'm not talking about that light. I said, well, that's the sun coming up, Mom. It's soon coming up. I was so excited she's getting it back, you know. She said, I'm not talking about the sunlight. I'm not talking about the street light. You say, preacher, come on now. I tell you what, some of you wouldn't believe me. She said, what do you want to sing? Kurt. She only called me Kurt. My name's Curtis Stephen. When she wanted me, or I was in trouble, and that was sort of synonymous, she'd say, Kurt! And when she said Kurt, I was ready to salute. She said, what do you want to sing? I said, you pick it. I'd sing anything. Mary Had a Little Lamb, Coming Again, whatever. She said, let's sing, oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. I said, okay. She said, now, I'm going to sing the harmony and you're going to sing the lead. I said, I appreciate that because I don't hear the harmony as well as you do. And I started out, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus. And I looked down, Brother Conda. I don't know why I keep preaching to you tonight. I looked down at my mom and her hands were gnarled with arthritis. She'd lost her hearing, and she had a cataract operation that never was successful. And even though she taught us how to sing and taught some of them how to play the piano, her fingers couldn't hit the right notes anymore. She couldn't hear if she hit a wrong note. She would weep when I would jump on the platform like that when she had hit a wrong note. She wanted to do her best for God. She'd always tried to do her best for God. I looked down at those old gnarled fingers, and I looked at her feet that had turned dark because her kidneys had shut down. How many of you have seen a loved one in that shape? And I knew it wouldn't be much longer. And I couldn't sing it anymore, Brother Robert. I couldn't sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. I was overcome with the emotion of the hour. And I quit singing and started crying. She said, hey, Kurt, don't you know, when you quit singing the lead and I'm singing the harmony, that I'm flat? I'm telling the truth now, aren't I, Conda? When somebody's singing the harmony and the lead drops out, it doesn't sound just right. It sounds just wrong. I said, I can't sing right now, Mother. Some of it is the first time you looked up all night right then. She said, you can too. You can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you. I said, yes, ma'am. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm telling you that God's always been faithful in this matter of salvation. When he said it's finished, he stretched out his hands and he died, the just for the unjust. That he might bring us unto God. He did it one time. And the next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. Amen? Hey, I'm thinking it could be any moment. Yes, sirree. And if you would read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you would get encouraged as Paul, the inspired writer, was trying to encourage those Christians at Thessalonica to look up, for at any time our Redeemer might come. I promise you, He'll change the way you talk. He'll change the way you walk. He'll change your idea about being faithful to God in your Bible reading, in your prayer time. He'll change your idea about going out soul winning this week if you knew that Jesus was coming at any moment. I'm going to tell you, it changes our whole outlook. I know of no greater motivating force in all of Christianity than the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder Dr. Lee Robertson couldn't ever get up to preach that he didn't get on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being filled with the Spirit, as this brother prayed a while ago, and being conscious of leading lost souls to Christ. People used to say he's so shallow. He only preaches about surrendering and the second coming, and being Spirit-filled and leading souls to Christ. He's never deep. Let me ask you something. How much deeper can you get than Jesus' blood being poured out for lost sinners? Come on! How much deeper can you get than being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and being, through the power of the Holy Spirit, what you always wanted to be but couldn't be in your flesh? How much deeper can you get than that? How much sweeter can you be, and any more like Jesus can you be than having a burden for lost souls? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason He came. He didn't just come for us to gather together tonight. It's wonderful. He didn't come for us to just fellowship. That's wonderful. He didn't come for us to just see how many we could get this week, and I'm all for it. I like everything about it. Everything about it being a fisher of men. I like it all. I would probably change that to a smallmouth instead of a trout, though, Brother Larry. But Brother Melvin likes trout, so I guess it'd be all right. Amen. Hey, He didn't come for all that. Listen, He came to seek and to save those that were lost. Amen. And He's faithful in this matter of salvation. All that come to Him, all that He hath called will come to Him. He that cometh to Him, He will in no wise cast out. And I wanted to read verses 27 through 29. You thought I'd got carried away and forgot about it, but I hadn't. I usually would. But the Lord wants you to hear this in verse 27. Look here. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them, what it? Eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father, out of my hand. Watch this, verse 29. My Father, this is in chapter 10, John 10, 29, which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Safe in the hands of Jesus. How secure am I tonight? Well, I'm secure enough that the Father said, nobody can take me out of my Father's hand. I heard of a preacher, I heard a man who said he was a preacher, preach on the damnable doctrine of eternal security. I thought about it. If I called his name, you would know who I'm talking about. I'll go ahead and do it, since some of you are wondering. Jimmy Swaggart. A damnable doctrine of eternal security. I thought to myself, nothing damnable about that doctrine. That's an eternal promise. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm safe in His hands. Amen. You say, you preach like you believe that. I do believe that. I believe it because the Bible said it. I didn't believe it just because I feel secure tonight. How many of you sometimes don't feel secure? You get out of this book. You quit walking in the power of the Spirit of God. You get off your knees long enough, get out of the fellowship of God's people, you won't feel so secure either. But you stay up close to God. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. You feel real secure. Come on, give God an amen. If I did say it, I'm just echoing what He said. He said, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. This is how that works. Come here, Brother Chip. I'd rather have Ruth, but I'm going to use you as an illustration, just for illustration's sake. We get Brother Chip up here. I love Brother Chip and Miss Noreen. They've been good friends for many, many years. He's God right now, and I'm you. He's illustrating God, and I'm illustrating me and you. Remember now, you're God. The Bible says, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Isn't that something?
Amen.
That means if you take a step toward God, He takes a step toward you. How many of you know what this feels like? Have your hands up there. You don't feel very secure that way, do you? But when I draw nigh to Him, and He draws nigh to me, and I draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to me, and draw nigh, He draws nigh to me, then I feel pretty secure right here. Real secure. Tighter than two coats of paint. That's pretty secure. That's more secure than carpet and padding under it, isn't it? Amen. He's faithful in this matter of salvation. And no man is able to pluck you out of your Father's hand. And then He's faithful not only in the matter of salvation, but He's faithful in this matter of service. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, help me go get started. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed and renewing of the mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You might present yourself. I beseech you, Paul said, I beg you, give yourself to God, surrender yourself to God. You might surrender yourself to God. Oh, Dr. Robertson used to preach a lot on surrender. I can hear him right now, that crooked finger. And surrender your life to God is your reasonable service. And everybody ought to be surrendered to God. Everyone, amen and amen. He is saying, he preached it that way, and he's exactly right. And it's your reasonable service. He surrendered his all for us. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. No one like him. No one like him, then it's our reasonable service to surrender our all back to him. Only problem, he said that you might be a living sacrifice. Only problem with living sacrifices. Let me tell you what the problem is. We're still living. And we crawl off the altar of sacrifice. And we start serving self. That's why Paul had it figured right when he said, I must die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He knew what he was talking about when he said, there's nothing good in me save the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul said. And when I find myself wanting to do right, the very time I'm wanting to do right, I'm paraphrasing this a little bit. Excuse me. I find myself doing wrong. How many of you have been there before? Boy, have I ever been there. I want to tell you, God is faithful in this matter of service. You say, I'm not good enough to serve the Lord. I'll never be good enough to serve the Lord. Let me encourage you tonight. Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the wise. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. How many of you are weak? I am. How many of you are not real smart? I'm there. How many of you don't feel real noble? That means we're all likely candidates for God to use. How about that? There went all your excuses. Even being blonde is no excuse. She knows I'm kidding. There are no excuses. If you're breathing, it's not too late. Brother Roloff used to say, He never gave up on any of his kids till they've been dead at least 3 days. God doesn't give up on you. Oh, I like that song those girls, those young ladies sang tonight, and Brother Matt. And when it's our lowest time, he gives grace to pick us up and help us go again. Brother Larry, I know I'm taking too long tonight, but it's been years since I've been here. Can we count it up and divide it by however many? Give me just about 15 more minutes tonight. Might be years before I ever get to come back. Jesus might come, which would be better than any of it. Amen? This might be the last message you hear. What about that? He's faithful in this matter of surrender. He will use you tonight if you'll die to self and give your all to Him. You're without excuse, every one of us, from one side or the other, from the front all the way to the back. You ought to volunteer for Jesus. Amen. A volunteer for Jesus, sing it if you know it. A soldier too, others have enlisted, why not you? What's the rest of it? What is it? Jesus is our captain. We will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Jesus is accepting volunteers tonight. He's been faithful in this matter of surrender, faithful in the matter of salvation, faithful in the matter of service, faithful in the matter of supplying our needs. How many of you, God's been a lot better to you than you have Him? I could go to that verse that you're familiar with, Philippians 4:19, how God supplies all your needs according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you, God's given some of your wants as well as your needs? Come on, be honest with God. Can I share a great blessing? I mean a really sweet thing God did for the ranch recently. We have a young man, and I don't want you girls telling this. You don't mum his word, okay? Mom means you didn't hear it. How many of you can keep a secret? Keeping a secret. Well, some of you are honest. Oh, her hand's up. I just couldn't see it for this long. Anyway, we had a man recently came to us, Brother Chip, and he said his boy had been there a few years ago, and he said, I want to know if we can do the excavating for that new dining hall. I said, oh, that'd be wonderful. He said, you need that, don't you? I said, we sure do. We've outgrown our dining hall. We need to convert that into a classroom. He said, that's a need, isn't it? I said, oh, it's a need. It is. He said, now, what else do you want? I said, sir. He said, what else do you want? I said, want? Different from a need, Brother Robert. He said, I'm talking want. You don't have to have it, but you'd like to have it. Football field? All right. He said, what else do you want? Kinda, you're going to like this one. Softball field. He said, all right. What else would you want? I said, well, if we use that field for the football field, we need the, and this woods over here for the softball field. Boy, I had no idea what that entailed. About 400 trees. And 12 and a half feet of dirt excavated. 4 weeks of hard work with 4 pieces of equipment and 4 operators working. And me trying to keep up with them with a chainsaw, clearing the pulpwood out of the way, and all that going on, not just me by myself, but others helping. That would take away all of our pasture. He said, we need to do something about that. You're liable to have the cows back one day and need some pasture. I said, yeah. You're right. He said, we'll just make some pasture too then. 5 weeks. Brought 4 operators up. Rented 4 or 5 pieces of equipment down at Cap in Chattanooga. Didn't miss a service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He said, what God did in the heart of our son several years ago, and he'll graduate in a few weeks. Not from our home, but the Christian school and their home church back in Florida. He'll graduate just in a few weeks. Big old rough construction worker. I'm looking for a guy as big as he is. I don't see anybody here even close. You're probably as tall. Stand up. What do you weigh? 270? You don't even come close. I bought him a 3XL jacket with Shenandoah on it, and he couldn't get it on. I had to get a 4XL and had a special order of that. But he put that jacket on. He drove in the other day, and as he leaving the Boys Ranch property, tears were coming out of his eyes on both sides. Big old construction worker. He said, "Oh," he said, "it's been our joy. We've learned that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive." I'm telling you tonight, God's faithful in this matter of supplying your needs and many of your wants. Don't bellyache and be a bad advertisement for God. So many times we give God such a bad name. Hey, the truth of the matter is, God's been better to every one of us than we deserve. Get with the program, man. Brother Robert, 26 years God's enabled you to be faithful, to build a fundamental Bible-believing, soul-winning, mission-minded Baptist church, doctrinally sound, in a very difficult area. But when I pray for Robert and Miss Dorothy, I pray, God, just help them to just stay faithful. You've been so good to them. I hope they'll take another lap around. They'll not quit on you. They'll be faithful to you like you've been to them. Hey, don't feel sorry for preachers. Don't feel sorry for your pastor. Love him. But I tell you, if he had it to do all over again, he'd just give it more, wouldn't you, Brother Larry? You won't turn gray-headed like me earlier, wouldn't you? Amen. Hey, I'm saying this. Don't walk around in the mully grubs putting God in a bad light. You know what I'm saying? He gives you grace every day that you don't deserve and I don't deserve. And His mercy and compassion is new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. What about that? What? Great is His faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I find. He's faithful in this matter of supplying our needs. Last of all, and aren't you glad, He's faithful in the matter of the second coming. I'm not about to leave here tonight without reminding you. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about this thing of the Lord coming with those who have died in Him before, coming with them in the act, and we who are here shall be caught up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I think it's verses 13, 14, 15, 16. We'll be caught up. That's where we get the word rapture. We'll be caught up, and together we shall meet Him in the air. Amen. Hey, 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58, that's not just a story. That is His story. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 19, 18, 19, that's not a made-up story. That's not a fairy tale. That is God's story. He's coming again. That's not just the song we sing. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. How many of you are living that way? If you're living that way, it'll clean your life up. That's what Paul said on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It'll make you have respect for your preacher. That's in the book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Make you want to help your preacher. Clean your life up. Give honor to whom honor is due. Make you want to live peaceably with all men. Make you not want to be an old grouch. You say, "Preacher, where's that?" Read your Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Even when the sky is not real sunshiny like it was today. I was on a ladder when that wind came in here today. Man, it turned about 15 degrees cooler. Just a snap of your finger. And the ladder started moving on the side of that wall of that house. And I said, "Self, you need to get down right now." And self didn't argue. Brother Matt called, and I was so glad he did. He called, and I hit the ground and talked to him on the telephone, not up in the air. But you know what? We've got a God who one of these days, that quick, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, He's coming. He's going to catch us away. When I was a little boy, I finished with this. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, my mother would get in that Rambler and push that R first for reverse. We'd back out of the basement. She'd punch that D, and up that hill we'd go, up the driveway. And she'd point that little old Rambler toward Springfield, Tennessee. 30 minutes later, we'd arrive at Tabernacle Baptist Church, me, my two brothers, and my sister. And on the way there, I'd always pass, I'd look for that sign. And on that cross, a concrete cross on Highway 31W, just before you head to Gulletsville, that said, Jesus Christ is coming. Be ready. Amen. You say, you were brainwashed. I need a good brainwashing. Amen. You do too. You've never been saved. You need a good soul cleaning.
Yes, sir.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Every head bowed and every eye closed. He's faithful in all these areas. Just one of the great attributes of God, His faithfulness. I wonder who's here today.